Jesus told some incredible parables. Insightful, instructive, deep. And for each of us, God may say something different. God might pull something out of the parable and speak to you about one thing, and when I read it, I'll sense something maybe a little different. But the parables speak to who we are. They speak to how we live. They are incredible. I would like to read the first half of my sermon, or focus the first half of my message today on one of those parables. It's called the Parable of the Talents. It's found in Matthew chapter 25. I really came to this parable because of the text that I planned to preach this morning from the third chapter of the book of Colossians. So I want to start in Matthew chapter 25, and then I want to go to Colossians chapter 3. It looks to me, if I have it right from looking at the four Gospels, that this was likely the last parable recorded of Jesus that's found in the New Testament. It looks to me like he spoke these words 2 days before he was arrested and went to the cross. It must have been important to him and what he said in this parable. It certainly is worth us opening our hearts and saying, Holy Spirit, what would you say to me from the words of Jesus in this story 2 days before he went to the cross? And so I invite you to it. Matthew chapter 25, if you want to grab the Bible in front of you, maybe you brought your own, or get out your phone, whatever it is, but I want to invite you to hear the words of Matthew chapter 25, and then I want to invite you to go to Colossians chapter 3. So here it is, part of the parable. I'm not going to read the whole parable, but I'm going to read part of it, beginning at verse 14. The kingdom of heaven, again, will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 bags more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of these servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 bags of gold brought another 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, good and faithful servant, you have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. In this parable, Jesus tells us that God gives to all his servants certain talents. That means, I believe, Jesus was saying to us that God gives to every believer a certain mix of abilities and possibilities. To every person, God gives certain talents. He gives certain opportunities. He gives certain abilities. Would you go to that next slide, please, and to those points? God gives all of us uniquely certain abilities. He doesn't give the same amount to each person. He doesn't give the same mix to each person. But to every person, I believe, in this parable, but also in other Jesus teaching and other scriptures, God reminds us that he gives to every person a certain amount, a certain mix of opportunities. God gives all of us time. God gives every one of us an equal amount of time, in fact. I don't have more time than you. You don't have more time than me. And all of us feel that stress and say, how can I get it done? Or what am I going to do with my time? But the truth is, God gives us each the same amount of time. And He gives us a responsibility with that. We know from the parable here that God gives us opportunities. The bags of gold in this translation is a story that tells us that God is giving something from His heart. He gives us something that's important to Him. In fact, if you go back to the first verse, it says here, He entrusted His wealth to them. God gives something that's important to Him when He gives us the opportunities and the potential of life. It's from the heart of God. We know from the parable that God watches over our efforts. One of the main tenets of this parable is that the Master's watching us and what we do with what He gives us. What do we do with the time we have? What do we do with the opportunities that we have? God rewards the faithful, punishes the wicked. Another tenet of this parable and the somberness of it is how God looked at those who He had given a talent to but did not use it, who wasted it, who was lazy, who buried it in the ground, who made excuses and did not fulfill the potential of how and what God had given to them. And yet to all those that are faithful, God says to them how precious He sees that. Good and faithful servant, you have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. If you don't get this parable, if this doesn't become a part of how you understand God, then you risk a great loss in your life. Number one, you risk the loss of wasting your life. Wasting your time, focused on things that really don't matter. You risk wasting your potential. You risk wasting the good that God has for your life. If you don't hear this from the heart of God and you don't incorporate into who you are, then you risk losing so much. And so this parable really is about giving your very best to God, wherever it is, whatever it is, giving your best to God. Not settling. Would you go on, please, to the next slide? Not settling for lazy or unfocused. Not settling for less than what God wants for you. But saying to God, I want to be all that You want me to be. Whether you're very young or you're very old, God gives you today a certain set of circumstances. This parable applies to people of every age. The 4 points that I want to mention in a few minutes, I think at least 2 of them apply especially to younger people, but they apply to every single one of us, no matter how young or old you are. What are you doing with what God's given you? Are you wishing life away? Are you saying, I wish I was somebody else, or I had different abilities, or I could do this? Or what are you doing with what God has given you now? It's precious. It's important. Not settling for any less, but saying to God, what do You want me to do with what You've given to me? That to me is what this parable is about. God is worthy of our best. God is worthy of the best that we can be and the best that we are. God is worthy of us giving everything that we can to Him. God is worthy that we consider who He is and what He's done for us and the amazing love and creativity that He's put into us. The fact that He made us in His own image. And He made us with the ability to think and to work. And when He created Adam and Eve, He gave Adam and Eve a purpose and a job. And they're to fill the earth. And one translation says to subdue it. They're to take charge over the world in a good way. God made us to be productive. He made us to allow our lives to count for something, for our lives to make a difference. He's done so much for us. He's done so much to help us. He is worthy of our very best. So as I begin to think about and us to imagine, why should we give our best for God? Number one, He's worthy of our best. Is He worthy of any less? God sees us, and He sees the effort with which we live our lives. He is the master. In the parable, He sees who is trying and who is not. Who is giving up? Who's giving out? Who's giving in? Who's saying it doesn't matter? He sees us and He knows what we're capable of. He knows what you're capable of. He sees potential in you that you might not at all see in yourself. He sees possibilities inside of you. And I don't mean that means that you're something on this pedestal of greatness. He sees the potential of your life. He sees where you're at today and where He wants to take you tomorrow. So trust Him and watch Him and listen to Him. You have a purpose in God's plan. You have a place to live out your life. You have a place that God can use you and fulfill you and give your life meaning. You have many purposes. You have big purposes. You also have daily specific ways that you can honor God and be used of Him. You have great potential. You have great opportunities. Many ones every day, and some big ones that come along as well. But I want you to think about today that every day is an opportunity for you to be used by God and to fulfill something inside of you that He made you to be. Everything about your life matters to God. Everything about your life and your choices matter to Him. He made you. He designed you just the way you are. I mean, we all have so many days, and then it will be gone. Every day is important. Every person is important to God. But the question is, are we making the most of it? Are we realizing how important it is for us to live according to the Master's words in this great parable? There are so many ways to give our best to God. So many different ways that we can give our best to God. I'm going to name four of them. They're from the book of Colossians, chapter 3 and 4. And if you want to open up to that text and have that open, and there's four things, and there's many others that we could name, but especially this morning, I have been loving the book of Colossians lately. It's just been, to me, four chapters of an incredible book with so many beautiful things. And so I was drawn to these words, and then I was drawn to about preaching about them and to this parable of Jesus. But I would like to read some words, and then I want to mention four ways that we can give our best to God that are found in here. Chapter 3 of Colossians, I want to start with verse 23. It says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritisms. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer every man." Four ways that I want to say today that we can give our best. Number one is the importance of your work ethic. The importance of your work ethic. Whatever you do, verse 23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Your work ethic is very important. Those of you that are in the work field, your work is important. Are you guys seeing lightning? Man, get these points. These must really be good. No, that's not right. Work ethic. We might not talk about that real often, but I want to talk about that for a minute today. How important it is that you give your very best to whatever you do. Honesty, integrity, your influence in other people's lives. Whatever you do, it says, work at it with all your heart. One translation says, go on to that next slide in the scripture, one translation has the word might in there. Whatever you do, work at it with all your might, all your efforts as working for the Lord. How important it is that we give our very best. I'm thinking about two areas. I'm thinking about work and I'm thinking about school, preparation, study. A lot of you are back in school or going to be back in school, or some year you're going to be back in school. I don't know what. Some combination. Others are being trained and prepared. And I just want to say it's important you give your best to God in these areas. Young people, you only have one opportunity to go around. Give your very best to be all that God can help you to be. You will never regret being your best for God. You will never regret doing your very best for God. I hope that you hear today the counsel of God's Word. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, all your might, as working for the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9 says, in your toil, at which you toil under the sun, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. I love the way the writer says it twice. In your toil, at which you toil. It's not just enough to have toil, but you got to work at your toil too. In your toil, at which you toil under the sun, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. I say to you all that are working today, be the best worker you can be. All of you that are in school today, be the best student you can be. Learn all that you can and fulfill the potential that God has for you in your life. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Number two, your prayer life. Your prayer life. Your closeness to God. Your listening to God. Your trust in God. Your allegiance to what God says. The verse here says, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves. Devote yourself to relationship. Prayer is about relationship. It's about your relationship with God. It's about how much you really care about who God is and your relationship with Him. Listening. Speaking. We deeply need this connection. And so Paul writes, devote yourselves to prayer. And then he says, being watchful and thankful. Two elements of prayer that are important to remember and to hold on to. Watchful, thankful. One person said it like this, pray with your eyes open. You know, we kind of have our custom that we usually pray with our eyes closed. But there's something about our hearts that need to be open when we're praying. We're not praying to go through a ritual. We're not praying just to say certain words and cover certain categories and then we're done. We are praying to connect to God. We are praying so that our hearts will be open to Him and listening and hearing Him and seeing what He's showing us. The best place to learn from God is in the quiet place. It's in that place when we get quiet before Him and deep before Him. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. God can examine our hearts. He can adjust what needs to be done. Prayer without watchfulness and thankfulness is ineffective. It's like going through the motions. And so we're reminded, how can we give our best to God? We can give God our best when we are seeking Him and we take time to listen to Him. Number three, your witness, your influence. How can we honor God? By how we influence other people. By what we say to them and our attitude toward them. Our attitude toward the COVID. Our attitude toward the elections. Our attitude toward the Big Ten football cancellation. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. Sorry. Our attitude about life. Our attitude about the future. What's going to happen in your world, and how are we going to handle it? And what are we going to say to people, and how are we going to handle our frustrations and what we might not like? Our influence is bigger than you might think. Your influence on other people is bigger than you might think. Be wise, verse 5 says, in the way you act toward outsiders. Pray that I proclaim it clearly as I should. Then verse 5 says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Opportunity. Notice that word every there. And the prior one, the word was all. God says that we should look at our time and our days as great opportunities. Every opportunity in your life is an opportunity to honor God with what you do and what you say and your attitude. How important it is that we honor God with these things. Be wise. Make the most of every opportunity. See every day as an opportunity to honor God and to influence people around you. And then the fourth thing, give your best to God with the words that you speak. Here in the last verse of this passage, verse 6, it says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I love those words. Let your conversation be always. The last verse, every. The verse for that, all. And here, the word always. Your words are important. Your words that you speak to each other. Your words that you speak at the workplace. The words that you speak to your spouse. The words that you speak to your parents. The words that you speak to your children are important. Let your conversation be always full of grace. Seasoned with salt. So that you may know how to answer everyone. I'm going to leave you this morning with four action steps, four things I'd like to ask you to consider today. These are specific, and these are ways that you can honor God. Number one is be thankful for who you are today and express thankfulness to God. Would you please go on to that next slide? First thing I want you to take home with you is this. Thank God today for your life. Thank God that He made you who you are. Thank God that you don't look exactly like anybody else, but you're close, a couple of you. I mean, really, look around. Why did God do this? If we believe God created us, what do we believe about our uniqueness and individuality? God made every person unique and different and special. God made you special the way you are. And He has potential for your life. Be thankful for that. Somewhere today, I want to recommend that you take a minute and you say, God, I don't know why you made me the way you did, but I know I'm unique to you and I'm important to you, and I know that I have potential because you made me that way. Thank God for your life today. Number two, spend time with God quietly today. Be still with God. One verse says, be still and know that I am God. The only way you will find yourself is if you find the quiet voice of God about who you are and what He wants for your life. The only way you're going to know who you are and what you're to do with your life is that you become quiet before God's Spirit. And you allow Him to speak to everything in your life. If you do that, God will speak to you. God will give you meaning. God will give you hope. God will give you your purpose. I encourage all of you today to take time and quiet yourselves before God. Be still with God. Number three, plan your day. Choose a plan that you can accomplish what God wants you to. I know that might seem like oversimplification to you today. You know, sometimes we don't accomplish the things that we should and God wants us to because we really don't take time to think it through and ask God, what do you want me to do today? Maybe if you ask Him that today, God's going to show you something or someone in your life that you can have an influence over. And the fourth one to say today is, be a blessing to someone today intentionally. Find someone out there who needs to be blessed. Find someone in your life that needs to be encouraged, that needs to hear the word of the Lord, that needs to know that somebody notices them and cares about them today. I encourage you to take time today sometime and make a contact to somebody to say to them, you matter to God and you matter to me. And fulfill the potential of God in your life. Would you stand please and sing as Shauna leads us.